you would get your Bible and open it up to 1 Corinthians. And while you're doing that, I'm just going to read a passage, a couple of passages of Scripture. But you don't have to turn to them, but I just want to read them to you. Just a couple of verses, actually. And hallelujah. Father, we just thank you that you are the great I am. You are the great thou art. And Father, we just want to honor you and praise you this morning as we come into this place at this moment and this time, Father God, in your purpose and your plan for our life. We just want to come here, Father, in a moment of surrender, a moment, Father God, to connect, a moment, Father, to just open the heart and open the mind, Father, and just open the eyes. We might be able to hear you, that we might be able to see you and the things that are said and done, Father. Lord, we just praise you and we thank you for this moment in time, this moment in your plan, Father. We just pray that we will be able to connect, and in that connection, Father God, that we'll be transformed. And in that transformation, Father God, we'll be renewed. And in that renewal, Father God, we'll be excited. We will be just thankful, Father, for all that you are and all that you are doing. Lord, we just honor you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. It says, I'm reading first off out of John. It says, that true light which lights every man that comes into the world, or every human being that comes into the world. And I could say it this way about of this passage of Scripture is, every human being that comes into this world has the light of God in them. Every human being. Now, you may think that that light goes out, but it never does. It may be buried under layer and layer and layer of bushels. But it's there. The light of God is in every man, in every Buddhist, in every Hindu, in every Muslim, in every Christian, in every Jew, in every religion that there is, in every nationality that there is, the light of God is in every man, and it never goes out. It does get hid. It does get buried. It does get pushed to the back. And it does become very faint, but it's there in every human being. Now, we have bought into so many religious lies, so many religious misconceptions, that we think that some people have specially got it and some haven't. But anybody that breathes only breathes because God is breath. They don't breathe without it. And if they don't breathe, then they are obviously dead. Hello? And their light went out. Yes. Now I'm reading another passage of Scripture from the book of Romans. And it says, for from him and through him and to him are all things. For all things originate with him and come from him. All things live through him, and all things center in and tend to consummate and to end in him. And did you get that? That's everything. That's pretty much all of it. All is all is all. How many of you ever heard that passage of Scripture that God is all and in all? I mean, you know, that pretty well says it. And that's but what happens? What happens to us? Well, we get caught living life. And I was sitting the other day and I was just kind of meditating, and I wrote this page of stuff, and I'm going to read it to you in just a minute. But first off, let's read over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I just want to begin with verse 13. It says, every man's work means his acts, his deeds, his labor, or his doings, And instead of saying every man, it was better off if you said every human being. Everyone that is, every human being's works, his acts, his deeds, or his doings, that's what the word means in the Greek for work, shall be made manifest. Now that's a no-brainer, isn't it? Everybody say that's a no-brainer. No-brainer. That's a no-brainer. Every man's acts, deeds. I mean, you know, Jesus said it this way. Maybe we'll have a chance to look at it later. Jesus said it this way. You can know a tree by its fruit. It's not difficult. Just look at the fruit and you know the tree. It's just that simple. Every man's work is made manifest. In other words, his deeds, his doings, his actions, his labor, whatever it is, for the day declares it. You understand that? Every day declares what's happening in your life. Every day does. You don't have to wait for some day, especially out in the future. Every day declares what's going on. Every day does. It declares what's happening. If you have connected to negative energy that day, you know what I would tell you? Disconnect from that energy. And plug into a higher energy. Plug back into God. Because every day, your doings, your deeds, your labor is going to declare what it's about that day. And if you're having a bad day, stop it and plug back in and say, I'm going to have a better day. Amen, Brother Lynn. That's good preaching starting out here. Come on. Come on. Every man's work. Now, you see, you got to understand God is after good for you, not bad. God is, He wants everything. If it seems to be okay, He wants it better. If it seems to be better, then He wants it better than that. See, God is always after that for you and me. He's not wanting to hurt us. He's not wanting to suppress us. He's not wanting to depress us or discourage us. All of those things are what you want to call your enemy. Those are the things that try to come in and stop you from being all that God wants you to be. Now, today, every day, every day. It says, because the day will declare it. Why? Because it's revealed by fire. I want you to notice that. That fire is an everyday fire. I mean, you know, I hear people say, well, you're either going to hell or you're going to heaven. And I would simply say it this way, you're either living in hell or you're living in heaven. That's an everyday situation. It's not a someday I'm going to go there.
That's
an everyday you're either living in hell, and that ain't a bad thing. If you're living in hell, you got to understand, you're just staying in the blaze. You're staying in the fire. And you know, sometimes it does get kind of trying in the fire. You ever notice that? Because it just burns everything up.
You get purified eventually.
Yeah, eventually. Yeah, sometimes, I don't know how many times we have to live this life to realize what we're after, what we're looking for. And most of us are all looking for the same thing. We're looking to be happy. Never mind. Everybody say amen. We're looking to be happy. We're wanting peace. And we're wanting to be thoroughly furnished and supplied in everything. We want more than enough. And there's nothing wrong with that because our God is a God of more than enough. There's not anything lack or slack or short about God. God is more than enough. And God wants you and me to have a more than enough. That's why God's always after abundance. He wants us to have abundance because God is abundance. So he says the day will declare it, and yet the day declares it or reveals it how? By fire, and let every man's work what sort it is. Verse 14, if any man's work abide which he built, he will receive a reward. His reward is based from that work that he did. You understand that? If the deeds, if his works, his doings, his deeds, if they were productive, in other words, he uses that analogy, if they were gold, silver, precious stone. In other words, if they were works of the Spirit, if they were works or they were things that were eternal, then that day will declare that. And then he says in verse 15, and read this with me, if any man's works shall be burned, he will suffer loss. And the only reason it says that is simply because he hadn't gained anything. And so everything that he thought that he gained, he lost it. So really all he lost was that he thought that he gained that wasn't eternal. But yet it says, and this is the phrase that I'm really thinking about, and this is the phrase I want you to look with me about and think about, but he himself shall be saved. Now, have you ever heard that phrase, are you saved? I hear that a lot. I hear people say, are you saved? And what do they mean? Most people mean, are you saved? Have you joined the church? Or most people mean, are you saved? Have you prayed the prayer? Or most people mean, are you saved? Has some kind of a religious trapping to it. But that's not what this passage of Scripture is talking about. Everybody say this. Say the word saved is sozo. And the word sozo means to be healed, to be delivered, to be whole. Now there's not a day in your life that goes by that you don't need to be delivered, that you don't need to be healed, and that you don't need to be whole. So I want to tell you something. To be saved should be a daily process. It should be something happening to you every day. It shouldn't be something that you pray a prayer, join the church, and then you think, I am saved, and now there's nothing else to be or do except wait until I go to heaven. That's a lie. And we all bought that lie. We all accepted that lie. Today you need to be saved. Tomorrow you need to be saved. Every day you need to be saved or sozo. In other words, you need to be made whole every day. Every day you have an opportunity to be healed. Every day you have an opportunity to be delivered. Because I promise you there's always something out there trying to trap you or trying to seduce you or trying to catch you. And you need to be delivered from it. So you see, God is always wanting to save us, and He does it by fire. By fire, which is His presence, which is Him. And if you plug into that fire every day, if you plug into that presence every day that fire, that holy fire of God, who God is, every day that'll consume all this other stuff. And you get healed, you get delivered, you get made whole, praise God. Now that's how you start your day. That's the way to start out your day. You start out your day by being plugged in. You start out your day by being made whole. And you start out your day by getting healed. Hello? Amen? Amen. See, this is what... See, God is wanting more for us than we want for ourselves. Most of us wants a lot for ourselves. But God wants more for you. Amen? Amen. Are y'all there? Now, I said, now let me read this to you. Hallelujah. Every day declares the love of God. Every day declares the passion of God. When I read that scripture over there and I talked about sex, most of us refer to sex as love, don't we? You know, when you're making love, you're making sex or something like that. I mean, that's a common terminology, isn't it? No? Treading on dangerous territory here? Okay, little adult. Okay, well, God is love. And when you're having communion with God, you're having intimacy with God, you're at one or in oneness with God, you're being intimate with God, you're entering in. God uses the phrase and says that it's burning. Burning, burning, burning down in my... You know, I think old Elvis wrote a song about that, didn't he? I mean, didn't he? I think he did. That's God. You know, that is God. It's a burning passion that's down inside you.
That's a good word too.
Intimacy, passion. Okay, those are better words. Hallelujah. But the other one really communicates the idea. That one that we can't stop. Okay, we won't talk about that. Now listen to this. I want y'all to listen to this. This is something that happens to everybody. It don't just happen to certain people. See, the message of the gospel is not just to special people. It's to all people. It's to everybody. The message of the gospel don't include some and exclude others. That's so dumb. I don't know why we're it and they're not. You know, we're the chosen. They're not. You know, we're the ones that God included. They're not. That's crazy. God included everybody. There's not anybody God left out. God don't have special ones. They're all special to God. Everybody's special. There's not one that's not. Everybody's special. Those that's doing what they should be doing, those that's not doing what they should be doing. They're all special to God. Now listen, to grow up or to evolve or to expand in something that is automatically set in motion. Now what I'm talking about actually is living life. Because when you're a baby, you're born into this thing and you start to start out with, you are really dependent upon your parents. Really dependent. But then you get to be one or two or three and then you think the world revolves around you. Have you ever noticed that? To a 2-3 year old, why they think the world is mine and I got it by the tail. It's all mine and I want it now. Have you ever noticed that about a 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 year old? Or as they grow older, they get stuck. Well, what happens, listen, what happens, they get stuck in that. We get stuck in I, me, mine. Have you ever noticed that? We get stuck in I, me, mine. And here we are 50 year old and we're still looking at I, me, mine. I want I, me, mine. I want mine. You ever notice that? We do. We get. What happens is that baby gets stuck in a thing. So listen to this. To grow up or to evolve or to expand in something that is automatically set in motion. Or in other words, his life is automatically set in a motion. In other words, it's automatically set in this thing we call growth. He's going to grow. As long as all things are normal and all things are equal, then he's just going to grow. Ain't nothing right or wrong about that. It just is. And to grow from an infant to an adult is something that automatically happens. It's like an explosion that goes upward and outward. I mean, see, when something explodes, it just, and that's exactly how we are as human. We explode, we evolve, we grow upward and outward. Oh, God help us. Hallelujah. Growing up is filled with, it's filled with excitement and it's filled with pleasure. It's filled with more things to do than we can ever do. We can become lost in it, overwhelmed by it. It can and it will overcome us because it's charged with tremendous feelings. It's charged with great emotion. It's charged with exciting sights and wonders. And it will and it does overwhelm us. It gets us trapped in its addictions and its habits. It gets us sidetracked in what we think is living when all the time we're really dying. Or in other words, just like an explosion, that the pieces are getting further and further away from their beginning. Same thing happens in growing up. And you watch a baby. You just watch an infant. He's still in a real close relationship with God. You hear me say this. Take one that's got the hives, a little bitty one, 3, 4, 5 months old. He'll just sit there and just grin, the biggest grin, with his eyes closed and he's asleep. You know good and well God told him a joke. Y'all seen them, haven't you? They just grin. You think that they grinned for no reason? And you're just sitting there, ooh, and then, oh, look at them. And they're just in another world. And they just the biggest old grin. And then all of a sudden, it's the worst frown will come on their face. And they're talking to somebody. That's God. They're in communion. They're in a relationship. But somehow, sometimes as we grow older, we lose that connection to get connected to something else, to get connected to all this evolving, all of this explosion, all of this growing upward and outward, all of these exciting times, all of these emotions, all of the pains and all of the fears, we get connected to that, and then what happens? We're living death. We think we're living, but we're dying. We're going the wrong way. We're going further away from our source. We're forgetting our connection. We're forgetting where we come from. Because everything comes from the light, who is God. All things come from God. Live and move and have their being because of God, and returns right back to that source which is God. That's that passage of scripture. I just read it to you right there in Romans. Forgetting the connection from which we came, very few ever take the initiative to stop. You remember that song? Stop in the name of love before you think it all over, huh? Come on. That's what everybody needs to do, this, because in your evolving and in your growing and in your excitement about all of these things, that you're being burned up and you ain't got a thing. Just need to stop and think it over. Think it over again and again. Think it over. Stop. We get trapped in trying to get what we already got here. We get trapped in trying to get what we've already got, and we don't take time to receive what's already been given. We're trying to make $100,000 a year or more, not knowing that we've been given all that there is. And we're trapped in it. And that's the plight of humanity. And I don't care if you live in some tribe in Africa or you live in New York City. It don't matter. We get trapped in this human evolvement, this human growth process. We get trapped in this thing. And for the most of us, it brings us pain. It brings us misery. It brings us discontentment. It brings us unhappiness. It brings us problems. It brings us situation after situation, wood, hay, and stubble. And we live our life, and for most people, they get involved in religion, thinking that the religion is going to help them from all of the pain, the trouble, the da-da-da-da-da, the wood, the hay, and the stubble, and it never does them any good. That's why people get involved in religion and then what they call backslide and then have to come back and rededicate and rededicate and rededicate. And I always wonder how come they wore the rededicator out. Because some people have been rededicated hundreds of times. Amen. And all God is saying, well, why don't you just dedicate? Amen. That's it. It's simple. Don't think that when you've dedicated, when you've surrendered, don't think that everything is just going to be roses and everything's just going to be hunky-dory. That's just a southern expression of, all right. Because things still going to happen. Yeah. World still turns. You know, every day you get up, it's not a full moon. I'm sorry, there's some days you get up, there ain't no moon. You can't find it. It's just dark. Period. So, every day, and I want to say this to you, every day we need to connect. Every day we need to be sozo. Every day. Every day you need to be saved. Now I know that runs against the grain, that runs crossways, because the word for saved is the Greek word sozo. Everybody say it with me again. Say sozo. It's S-O-Z-O. It means to be delivered, it means to be healed, it means to be made whole. Now, is there a day in your life that you do not need one of the three of those? Now let me tell you what saved don't mean. Saved don't mean join the church. Saved don't mean pray a certain prayer. Saved don't mean go to heaven. Saved don't mean shun hell. It don't mean that. Saved is the Greek word sozo. It means to be delivered. It means to be healed. And it means to be made whole. Now, if you would go with me to 2 Corinthians, you're there in 1 Corinthians. Just turn over to 2 Corinthians real quickly. Chapter 4. But if our gospel, verse 3, I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 4, 3, says, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Did you see that? In other words, Paul is saying, if the good news is hid or it's obscure, for some reason you can't see it or you can't find it, you got trapped in living life. And I'm going to tell you, there's not anybody not trapped in living life. There's not. I mean, I see situations happen with my own grandkids, and I think, okay, that's a trap. That is literally a trap. Does that grandkid know it's a trap? No. Does the parent or the situation or the circumstance of the people that set the trap know that they set a trap? No. How many of you, and we're all guilty of this, you don't have to raise your hand, but I'm just trying to make a point. How many of you ever slapped your child in the face? told you. What do you think that was? That's a trap. That's not how you teach a child anything. That's not how you instruct someone. Hear from the loving hands of this mom or this daddy, this parent, this figure, this God figure in that child's little 2, 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old's life. That figure all of a sudden, I told you not to do that. That's a trap. And two people got trapped. The parent and the child. Was that done intentionally? Did that mom and daddy do that to be mean? Did that mom and daddy do that because, bless God, they're going to teach you something? Well, I'm guilty. You know, you may say, well, I'm not guilty. Well, that's great. I tip my hat to you. That's marvelous. But there are other ways you can trap people. And that child at 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 8 and 10 and 15 growing up in this thing we'll call life, expanding in this thing, didn't set that as a part of his agenda to be slapped in the face. And what happened to that child when that happened? Inside his heart, pain. Pain. Inside his heart. Why, sure, it stung on the face, but inside his heart is where the pain is at. And it's the issues of the heart that make you who you are. And there's not anybody on the planet that don't have issues in their heart. And they hurt. And they cry. And they don't know how to get delivered. Healed. Made whole. In other words, connected back to their source. Do they need to be saved? Yeah, every last one of us. Come on, y'all hearing what I'm telling you? You hearing this? If our gospel, if the good news about God, it's here to all of us who got trapped. Not just in this church or that religious community. All of us who got trapped. Who get trapped. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world blinds your mind. The God of this world blinds your mind. It blinds the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light. That's the fire. You see, because the fire of God, our God is a consuming fire. The fire of God is a light. And the brighter the fire burns, the brighter the light is. Say amen, brother. Y'all got quiet on me there. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God. Who is the image of God? Everybody say Christ is. Christ is not the name of a man. Christ comes from the Greek Christos, which is the transliterated of the Hebrew Mashiach, which means the anointed or the anointed one. Or it's a euphemism for the king or the one who sits in your heart and rules and reigns. God just wants you and me to connect to that Christ, God nature that's inside me. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who commanded the light to shine where?
Out of the darkness.
Where does the light shine from? Out of the darkness. You see, the light is that nature of God that's in this human flesh that's so dense that's called darkness. Because all it is light that's slowed down to such a slow speed that it looks like human, it looks solid. It's just human flesh. We have this light in these things. Causes the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure. Everybody say treasure. In earthen vessels. Touch yourself and say, I'm this earthen vessel. You see, I have this treasure of God inside me, this light, this consuming fire. I've got it in this earthen vessel, in this dense, dark place. I've got it inside here. I've got it in there. And all God is saying, let the light out. If you let the light out, the light will heal you. The light will make you whole. And the light will deliver you. It'll set you free from those things that got you in bondage. From those childhood pains. or from any of those things that have happened to you in your life as your life began to explode, evolve, and grow up. And most of us got caught in that evolving, growing up, explosion process. We didn't just mean for that to happen to us. It just happened to us. You got to hear me. That's not mom and daddy's fault. That's not the teacher's fault. That's not somebody else's fault. It just happened. It just happened. And it just is. It is what it is. Look at it. Accept it for what it is. Look at them. Accept them for what they've done. And then just release it. And say, Father, I just turn it back to you. That's how you get free. That's how you get delivered. That's how you and me allow the light of God that's in us, that's in these earthen vessels, we allow that light to just explode and go outward. And it burns up all that wood, hay, and stubble. That's the pain. That's the abuse. That's those things that didn't go the way that you thought they should have. I mean, you know, that's those disappointments. Anybody ever had any of those? I'm preaching to me. I may not be preaching to y'all. I'm preaching to me this morning. Yeah. All right. If you would, go with me to Luke chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 6. Everybody say this with me. To be saved is to be delivered. It's to be healed. It's to be whole. Now, if you watch yourself, you'll realize that that's something that you need every day. If you'll just watch yourself, you'll realize you wake up today and then all of a sudden something tried to contact you. You know, all of a sudden everybody says, well, I need to go get the flu shot because the flu is there and it's going to get me. So you need to be delivered from it. You need to be made whole. So you need to be saved that day. Amen. Y'all there? Yeah. Yes. It don't mean to go to heaven. It don't mean to join the church. It don't mean to pray that special prayer. That's real hard on our thinking, and I know it is. I know it is. But still, everybody needs to be saved. Sozo. And everybody needs that every day of their life. Every day of their life. Every day I need to be delivered from something because there's some little thought that'll come flying right through there. And I didn't invite it. And I don't even know if I thought it, but there it was. Zoom! Just come right through there. And I thought, well, where did that come from? You know? I mean, every day I don't think about going to robbing the bank. But some days I do. I know good well if those days that thought come there, if I go do that, buddy, I'm going to need delivered bad. I don't know where that come from. I don't know where that, but there it was.
You
want to
get that for me?
I could take that to some extreme, if that's not extreme enough. But you understand what I'm talking about. How many of you need delivered? Everybody does. Everybody. Well, you understand that means saved. That ain't got nothing to do with joining the church. That ain't got nothing to do with going to heaven. That ain't got nothing to do with praying a prayer that is special. It has to do with you living life. Now, how many of you realize that you woke up today, you got to live life? You either going to live life or life going to live you.
That's right.
Our problem is most of us, life's living us. And oh my God, it's hard. Sometimes it's hard on me, it's hard on you, it's hard on us. And God's called you and me to live it. We got it backwards, haven't we? God wants you and me to ride the horse, not the horse ride us. We got the saddle on the wrong one, y'all. Hallelujah. I can't even imagine why people go down there and sit in places and call it church. I ain't figured that out yet. I don't know. I think we all did at some point in time called it church and just get the hell beat out of us. I mean, I can remember when Connie would go there and we would leave. I'd be mad. I'd be angry. I'd be upset. I thought we were supposed to be built up. Oh, well, y'all hadn't been there. I have. And I'm getting free from there. I'm getting delivered from down there. I don't want to go down there no more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my. You remember when Jesus met the woman at the well, and she said, well, he got to talking to her, and he said, well, you've had five husbands. Five senses. And you've been connected to all of them. And he said, and you're living with another now, religion, but that ain't really yours either. Haven't we all been down there that well? Yes, we have. And you know what he said? He said, why don't you just drop all of those and go your way and don't let that pain plague you no more. And what we thought he said was, go your way and don't sin no more. And then what we filled in for sin was robbing a bank, getting drunk, or fornicating. That's not what he said. He said, just go your way and don't let that pain plague you no more. Don't let that hurt you no more. Living life. Because life will hurt you. Life will beat you up. He said, you go live it. Don't let it saddle you up and live you. Y'all have an ear to hear? All right, now then, did you find Luke?
Yeah.
Luke chapter 6, look at verse 43. It says, for a good tree brings forth corrupt fruit. Y'all have to help me because sometimes I have a hard time reading. It don't read that way, does it? No, it don't read that way. It says a good tree brings not forth corrupt fruit. Neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For the thorns do men gather figs, nor of a bramble bush do they gather grapes. A good man out of the good treasure, everybody say treasure. The word treasure means deposit. It means what you put in there. It don't mean winning the lottery. It's nice if you win the lottery. And you may think you have a treasure if you win the lottery. But many people who win the lottery and get their treasure that way, usually their treasure's got them. 5-10 years later, they ain't got nothing. As they say, they ain't got a pot to use the bathroom in to clean it up a little bit. But what do we want? Most people want, what do we look? Most of us want to buy that ticket and win the lottery. When I want to tell you something, you've already won the lottery. You've already got the ticket. You're just not using it. You see, we already have. You already have an abundance. We're just not receiving it. We've already connected. You already are making $100,000 a year plus. You just hadn't connected to it. God's got it piled on your front porch. Go out there and get it. A good man, verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. What have you got in your heart in abundance? That's your treasure. That's your deposit. What you plug into. Praise God. Plug into abundance. I'm plugging in every day. I'm going to plug into healing. I'm going to plug into deliverance. I'm going to plug into more than enough every day. I'm going to take some time and I'm going to meditate and I'm going to get before God and I'm going to say, Father God, you're all that I need. You're $100,000 a year plus. You're everything I want, everything I love, everything I desire. I'm going to plug into you. And hallelujah, I thank you today. Praise God, you give me that. That's how you live life. Instead, most of you, oh my God, I'm already late. And here we go. Well, then we're always behind late. Have you ever noticed that? So every day now you follow late, and it ain't fun to follow late. No, because late is an evil treasure. So what does he say? It says, out of the abundance of your heart, what you put in here, what you treasure more than anything. Look at this over, Jesus said it this way in Matthew. Just flip real quickly over there. Matthew 6 and verse 19. It says in verse 9, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth. You see, we always looked at that and we always thought gold and silver and precious stones. We always seen that box that the pirates hid somewhere and we're going to find that treasure chest. We're going to open that box and it'll just be filled with money. The But we always looked at that and we thought that's what the word treasure is. That's not what treasure is. Treasure is what you got in your heart. What have you got in your heart? Do you not have much in there? Then you don't have much treasure. And that's okay. All I'm saying is deposit some. That word deposit. That's what do you have deposited in here? If you don't have anything deposited there, then don't try to draw something out of there. And that's what we're constantly trying to do. We're constantly trying to plug into God. Oh God, won't you do this? Oh God, will you do that? Oh God, I need it. Have you put anything in there? If you hadn't put anything in, you can't get anything out. What we always want to do is write bad checks. You ever notice that? That's the way we live our lives. We want to draw something we ain't got. Well, that's what Jesus is not saying that. Jesus said you've got to got it before you can draw off of it. You've got to have it. You've got to get it. And it's in there. All you got to do is connect to it, cultivate it. Just get in there and build your relationship. I'm not talking about goody two-shoes. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about wearing your hair a certain way. Or I'm not talking about wearing your clothes a certain way. I'm talking about getting connected to God a certain way. Know that He is and that He is all that you ever need. That's not religion. No, it's not got nothing to do with religion, praise God. That's got to do with happy and peace and abundance.
Not dollars.
Oh.
That's the tithe offering right there. That's what the church preaches. Just give me.
Well, verse 19, lay not up your self treasures upon earth where moth and rust will corrupt, where thieves will break through and steal. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust can corrupt, but thieves can't steal it. For where your treasure is, look at verse 21. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart's at. Whatever you've got a deposit of, whatever you've got in there. And I want to tell you, when you've got enough of God in there, then hallelujah, you just plug in that day, and that day you can experience your salvation. Or you can get delivered. See, when that little thought come through, go rob the bank, God just said, uh-uh. And she said, God, did you hear that? Did you hear that? No, I'm free from that, thank you. God is my bank. See, and I don't need whatever First National's got. I've been plugged into God's National Bank. And whatever God's got, hallelujah, I have more than enough. I've got a deposit there, and I'm going to just draw out of that deposit, and I'm going to be saved. Hallelujah. Saved. I'm going to be delivered. I'm going to be made whole. You see, to be made whole means to be connected back to your source. You remember when I read that about that explosion, and that explosion just continually goes upward and outward, and that's how we live life, most of us, just like an explosion, not having a clue where it just, here we go. God says, no, let's come back. We have exploded, now let's implode. Let's come back and connect. Let's get back to our source and see what the source, because the source will deliver me, the source will heal me, the source will prosper me. And that source is God. Now, go with me to Romans chapter 10. Now, this is sometimes a difficult passage. So follow me with this passage of Scripture. I'm going to disconnect, but I'm going to talk about this passage of Scripture some over the next few weeks, I think. Romans chapter 10. Most of you all have heard this passage of Scripture, and usually they teach preachers or they teach people who are in witness programs or different things in church. They teach them this passage of Scripture to show them how to lead somebody in a special prayer or join a special church to pray a special prayer. Not having a clue what this really says, but what their religion has taught them that it says. Verse 9, Romans 10, 9. And I want to read through 3, 4, 5 verses here, and I want to come back and just, I want to explain something that this says up front, and then, like I said, we're going to just kind of disconnect here and come back to it. Because I think it's very, very important. And I think it will help us a lot. Because you see, God wants you to be saved. Everybody say this. Say, God wants me to be saved. Say this. Say, God wants me to be healed. God wants me to be whole. And God wants me to be delivered. Now, you know, you automatically know that. You automatically know that. But yet, you know what most people out here, atheists or agnostics or certain people, they would say, I don't know about that being saved. Your religious definition. But ask them if they need to be delivered or healed. Ask an agnostic, do you need to be healed? Ask an agnostic person who's got a lot of division in their heart, a lot of turmoil, and say, do you need to be whole? To be whole is to be peaceful. Hell, I'll say, well, yeah, I need some of that. But no, I'm not joining your church. I'm not praying your prayer. I ain't getting involved in your religion. And you know what I say? Amen. Hallelujah. Don't do that. But look at this passage of Scripture. Romans 10:9 says, if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture said, whosoever shall believe on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whatsoever shall a man call, for whosoever shall a man call upon, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, haven't we all heard that? We all pray that. We all know that. And we say, now, Brother Lynn, don't that mean to pray the prayer? Don't that mean that they got to say this? No, it don't. And you say, but it does. Now, we have an English word, and I don't mean this in any way to be disrespectful to a person's preference, but we have an English word called homosexual, don't we? And most people have an idea of what that word is. Homosexual means a homo is same as. So if it's homosexual, it would be man with man or woman with woman. Same as. That's all it means. Homosexual means same as sexually. So it means that they're the same in their sexual orientation. Homosexual. The word homo is actually a Greek word. It's a Greek root word. And the word just simply means same as. Can everybody say that? Say homo.
Homo.
Means same as. That's all just a Greek word that means same as. Same with. Same with. Now, notice this, that if you shall homologos, is that next word there? Homologos. Homo, same as, logos, word. Now that ain't got nothing to do with you praying a prayer to join a church. What that has to do with is you saying the same thing God said. Homo, logos. It says, if you will say the same thing God says. Well, what did God say? That's the question. What did God say? If you didn't hear God say anything, you don't know what God said. Then you can't say it. Hey, not pray it. Say it. If you can't say what God said because you didn't hear what God said, then you can't pray what God said. See, we always thought that church and religion taught us that to confess means to get up and tell everybody my bad stuff. It's not. The word confess is homologos. Just look it up. Just go home, get your concordance, your dictionaries, and find. Confess means to say the same thing God says. Logos. The word logos is the word word. It's the word that we get where God spoke to someone and wrote it down. Written word. It means homo logos, I will say the same thing God said. Well, let me tell you what God said about you. God said you're healed. God said you're whole. God said you're delivered. God says you're prosperous. God said that you have more than enough. Did you know that? Well, until you, I'm not talking about you hear what the preacher said to you. I'm talking about you have to hear what God said to you. That's homologos. That's you getting to a place. How can you do that? Can you do that? Yes, you can do that. Yes, you can get to the place where you hear what God said and you know what God said, because God is the same to all, Jew, Gentile alike. And His Word is the same to all. There ain't no difference. So, what God wants is you and me to say the same thing that He said. And when you and me can begin to say the same thing that He said, then guess what will happen? We will be saved. Sozo, healed. We'll be delivered. I mean, you know, sometimes it's just a futile effort for us to pray for you to be healed. Or sometimes it's a futile effort for you to believe for you to be healed if you didn't hear God say you're healed. If you read it in a book and it's just written word, or if you heard a preacher say it and it's something the preacher preached, it's not your word. It has to be your word. It has to be something burned inside your heart that you know, that you know. I heard God say that. Praise God. That's who I am. And I want to tell you, there won't be no doubt. There won't be no question in that. When you plugged in and you heard God say it, hallelujah, now you can do it and be it. There's a whole lot of difference in that and you coming up here and I say, repeat after me. And you repeat after me and I say, now say this, da 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 da. Now say this, da 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 da. Now say, I did, 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 did. And you say, da 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 da. And you did all that and then you went away and said, well, I still feel the same. You know why? You still are the same. Maybe you joined the church. Maybe you prayed the prayer, but you hadn't been changed. You know why? You didn't hear God say. Because to hear God say transforms your life. Amen. Amen.